Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. I'm Lawrence Chapman, and I'm the Senior Copywriter here at Product Marketing Alliance. Today, I have a very special episode for you, as we get to listen in to a group of professionals dedicated to serving a hugely important, yet often overlooked, toolkit that supports product marketing, go-to-market, and sales enablement. Of course, I'm talking about presentations. We all know the power of better storytelling and aligning our messaging. Yet, supporting sellers on a continued basis can be exhausting. When product marketing teams don't have the space to respond to each and every ad hoc, I need a quick slide request submitted from sales, the sad but true effect is that many sellers take it upon themselves to spend precious hours in PowerPoint or Google Slides to design those slides themselves for an upcoming call. However, more often than not, they don't hit the mark, and those rogue slides are often passed around in the sales org, becoming difficult to rein back in. However, that's where Ghost Ranch comes in. Since their inception in 2015, the team at Ghost Ranch Communications has operated a go-to presentation design partner serving product marketing teams across the B2B tech space for the likes of Oracle, DocuSign, RingCentral, Model N, and many more. Best-in-class product marketers finally have that resource that can keep up with their growing needs, leaning on Ghost Ranch as their secret weapon to design and develop more effective down-funnel sales and marketing assets at the real-world pace demanded by the industry. In this episode of Product Marketing Insider, we'll tune into a fun conversation with the team at Ghost Ranch to hear what trends they're observing from the broad range of B2B product marketing clients as we head further into 2023. This group gets to see a huge variety of different decks, solution briefs, data sheets, analyst briefings, battle cards, and more critical assets from some of the world's biggest product marketing outfits. So their perspective on what's going on and what's not comes from a big pool of data and insights. Let's tune in to hear Ghost Ranch founder and CEO, Mike Miaduski, sit down with the presentation agency's Director of Account Management and Growth, Kelsey Jones, and the firm's Executive Creative Director, Ali Wilson, to hear what the best of the best PMMs are doing to enable their companies with world-class sales and marketing assets going into 2023.
Hello, friends and product marketers. My name is Mikey Miaduski. I'm honored to be a guest host today of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. And I am especially excited to be joined by two B2B presentation professionals from Ghost Ranch Communications. I know that there are many listeners out there who might classify themselves as presentation nerds because a lot of PMMs live and breathe in PowerPoint and G Slides all day, every day to articulate some critical thinking and messaging at their orgs. So to those of you listening who are think of slides as a love language, you are not alone. And I'm joined by two guests, again, who are passionate about the space. So Kelsey Jones and Ali Wilson, thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to start off by asking you, Kelsey, who you are and how you got into the super niche space of presentations.
Yeah, I'm Kelsey Jones, Director of Account Management and Growth at Ghost Ranch Communications. My career started in account management from the beginning at more generalist agencies and then experiential. And I was lucky enough to have one of my old colleagues work for Ghost Ranch at the time and introduce me to the crew over there and came on board about 2 years ago and really was introduced to presentation design from there. I've created presentations myself when I was selling RFPs for experiential events, but presentation in the B2B space is definitely much different than, you know, what I had experienced in the past. So it's been exciting to learn as I've continued my career with Ghost Ranch.
Great. And Ali Wilson, Executive Creative Director at Ghost Ranch, how did you stumble into this tiny little sliver of a medium?
It is a little sliver. So I come from kind of a diverse background, really starting out in advertising and illustration. Over time, that ended up shifting into product design as I became more interested in strategy, which then put me on a path to go to back to school and study design management at SCAD. So that's actually, I was finishing up my program there when I was introduced to Mikey by a former mutual professor that we both had. And really just hearing his story about how he stumbled into the medium of presentation design, I just really fell in love with the idea of focusing on something that was so hyper niche. And it's just the perfect combination of beautiful visuals, really great design, artistry, and then strategy. So it's really got everything I love. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
And Allie, you know, I think for a while we were both a little self-conscious to overstep and overspeak about to some of our clients who are these brilliant product marketers, you know, about our thoughts on what they're doing. And so for a while, we pretty much lived to bring their ideas to life visually. But when did you realize that you actually knew more about product marketing than you thought?
Yeah. So we had a really close relationship. There's a director of product marketing in the fintech space that we worked with very closely for a few years. And one day he asked if Mikey and I could hop on a call just to chat through some ideas. We didn't really know what he meant at the time or what he was looking for. But as the conversation evolved, he figured as a presentation design agency, we'd worked on a lot of decks, which was true. And most likely we'd seen a lot of different go-to-market strategies across a lot of different industries, which is also true. So he wanted to brainstorm around some new ideas and have a strategy session. So we were a little bit starstruck at the time because no one had really asked us that before, but it was incredible how easy the conversation was. It was a bit of a revelation to realize that we really did have quite a treasure trove of insight to share around all these different approaches to communication strategy. And we loved it. And it was really kind of a fruitful conversation. So that's when we realized that we just had so much more to offer than we had been up until that point.
It's true. And having worked in-house, I know, you know, after a while, you feel like what you see is almost insular. You're only seeing your own company's assets and you kind of get used to that. And so I think it can be refreshing for someone to ask a consultant who has exposure to way more, you know, different companies' approaches to see, you know, what's going on? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And sort of poke you for to see how they might be benchmarking themselves against their peers and competitors. So without further ado, I think that's why we're here today. We want to have you, Kelsey and Allie, talk to us and the Product Marketing Insider listeners about what you're calling the three C's of presentation enablement. So some trends that you're seeing that we think can really play out in 2023 and help some product marketers with their own, you know, go-to-market assets and presentations on the day-to-day basis. So Kelsey, how about you kick off the first of the three C's?
Yeah. So, you know, part of my job in account management is to really, you know, listen to our clients and kind of really understand like what position they're coming from. And so I continue to hear more and more in conversations that our clients need their sales decks to feel united across the board. And so I think cohesion comes into play a lot. And it's really important that we're able to bring that consistency with design and messaging and narrative throughout not only their sales deck, but their enablement assets as well. And so it's just really important to our clients that we're able to bring that forward with the different projects that we're working on for them. I think we're seeing this more and more come up over the past like few months and leading into this year because of the shakeup in tech that we've seen for the past few months. There's been, you know, a lot of layoffs and, you know, the state of the economy is kind of unknown. And so we're seeing more and more like how we need to tighten, our clients really want to tighten up, you know, their messaging and design across all of their enablement assets. So it tells that one unified story.
Got it. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, when there's shakeup, even in good times when, you know, we see PMMs kind of climb that ladder and they move from one company to another, I think the first thing they want to do when they get there and land as a director of product marketing or a marketing leader is say, all right, how does our positioning work? Who's saying what? And they're starting to talk to everybody at the org. And I'm sure if everybody's saying something differently, it's like, okay, it's gut check time. It's time to align up top. Allie, what are some actual like manifestations of, you know, in terms of like what assets or slides in particular are you starting to see come about that relate to that need to align sort of at the top?
Yeah, it's something, it seems like a big first step is developing some sort of vision narrative, because that ends up informing so many other pieces of content and strategy from there. And it just becomes the foundation for everyone and how they want to communicate moving forward. So we see that as a really big first step. And even if it's not maybe a new face to an organization, it still can be like the fresh set of communication at the beginning of the year that sets the stage for everything that's to follow throughout the year, you know, including, you know, first call decks to follow it. You know, it becomes just a great first step to getting everyone aligned. You know, another big part of that, we have a very famous type of slide that we like to work on, the marketecture.
Yes.
The need for cohesion with marketectures is pretty huge because it's such a complicated slide. And it's such a complicated visual and concept to be able to accomplish. But really, you know, the important thing for everyone to understand when working on a marketecture is how the products are actually working together as a system. Because if there isn't alignment on the inside about how that structure operates, how is that going to be communicated consistently as you're trying to sell the products?
And I know you've been doing some cool things with marketectures as well, almost like weaving more story into it as opposed to slapping ye olde, you know, layer cake down. yeah, are you seeing more even animation when it comes to some of these kind of builds?
Yeah, there's so much complexity and there's so much story that, you know, to weave into one visual, that being able to break it down and explain it as a process, and you explain, you know, individual products and why all those products even exist together in one space can be easier to accomplish through animation. Or even, you know, maybe you have a marketecture where you land on the structure and you can see the entire ecosystem together. But when you start talking about it, you get a little bit more granular and you explain things piece by piece. So then the whole story unfolds over time. And then you have a better understanding of that visual when you get to it, rather than just trying to digest this really complex piece of information all at the same time.
Love it. Okay, so you mentioned cohesion and almost marketing leaders using the start of a year to really get everybody on the same page. Kelsey, I think we used to see sales kickoffs for a couple of clients. How has this trend changed in the last year or two?
Yeah, I think when it comes to sales kickoff, it's really trying to get your entire organization on the same page and get that alignment. And so we've seen more and more the investment in making sure that these presentations aren't just a lackluster presentation that they're giving, that they're showing up and getting their team excited. Because, you know, if your sales team doesn't show up right the first time, you may not have that second conversation. And so you really have to get your team excited to go and then like sell what your initiatives are for that year. So we're just seeing more and more investment within SCO and those kickoff events.
That's awesome. Yeah, it seems like almost every client now has, whether it's RKO, GKO, annual sales meeting, sales kickoff, it's happening. And they're certainly putting a lot of energy into them. Okay, my big question to you both with regard to SCOs, to theme or not to theme?
I love the theme. I think it's fun. It energizes, you know, your organization. It's something new. It's fresh. Really gets them excited about the new year and what's ahead. So I'm team theme all the way.
Okay. I'm team theme with a caveat because I'm with you, Kelsey. Themes are fun. And, you know, you don't want it to be the same old thing, right? And you want everyone to get all amped, get ready to party. This is a celebration of what everyone's doing with their lives and for a living and like, you know, how they're, you know, working together to bring something different into the world. So it's, you know, it's great to have something energizing and new. But along with that, you know, there's always exciting new messaging that comes out of a SCO and everyone wants to use that right away. I feel like people are, you know, they want to carry that energy forward into how they're selling. And so then the big question is always like, okay, like, can we start using these materials right away? But then it's like, oh, we have this tricked out theme. It's not necessarily super aligned visually to our brand. Like, how do we get this messaging ready to go really quickly? So I think there's ways that you can trick things out with a fun theme, but also keep it really aligned to your brand strategy that you have in place so that there's an easy, smooth transition from that SCO magic that's going on to everyday use as well.
Dang. Yo, that is a presentation insider hack. I've seen you build like a pretty snazzy event theme on top of a company's like corporate chassis, you know, so that it's easy to pull out those pieces and like the conversion to Salesify it afterwards is basically ready for the field and without having to totally port things over and cause quite a bit of bumps along the way. So if you are prepping an amazingly exciting SKO and a new template, be ready for that question because sales is going to want to use those assets afterward if it was indeed a successful SKO. So that's great. We also know, though, that cohesion and alignment up top is super important. But once it trickles out and gets to the field, you know, the one size fits most approach to storytelling is going to leave a lot of sellers sort of like yearning for more. Like they always want to treat their new prospect, some big whale, some new opportunity, a little more custom because we know that personalization works and sellers know that for a fact as well. So I think that might lead us to the next of the three C's as a trend that we're seeing amongst, you know, best in class product marketers. Allie, what would that be?
Oh, that's composability. We have been loving this word. I mean, composability can mean a lot of different things, but really think about it as making your materials modular. And by modular, we mean customizable, which is another C, so we can look at it that way too. We've also coined it as like a deck of everything. So think of it as this like mega deck that has all of those really good key assets that your salespeople love to use and they love to speak to all in one place, a slide library. I like to think of it as a capsule wardrobe for your messaging. You know, everything matches. You can build lots of different great things from it, but it still all works together really well as a system.
That's great. And I know it solves, I think when we heard this, and shout out to Esther Yoon from RingCentral, who really like got us privy to the word composability in the first place as it relates to like to creating decks that a sales field can run with. It solves a common problem that we see, which is that, hey, I need a quick slide. You know, I'm sure product marketers have so much to do. There's so many like big ticket items on their agenda that they'd love to solve, but they're constantly pulled aside with all these ad hoc requests. And surely they'd love to support their field with those. But if PMMs are starting to become a bottleneck, you know, we have to think of ways that you can scale your cohesion and your message, but also scale the ability for personalization. And so that's where we think these more composable decks and that plug and play, like you said, sort of the, it's almost like gutters at the bowling alley, you know, with the neon lights and stuff. It's like, hey, you know, you're going to get a strike without going too far off the rails. So when it's a well-built, you know, like sort of composable presentation system, it seems like you safeguard the field from going too rogue, but like still giving them room to play and keep the brand on point, but deliver that personalization. There's one word, Allie, that I know you've talked about. It's like yet another trick in the toolkit. What are these presentation wrapper slides?
Yeah. And actually what you just said about gutters was another really nice way to describe it, like those bumpers, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about wrappers, they're kind of like, okay, so many metaphors. They're like bookends to a presentation. So, you know, especially if you're coming out of this vision deck, and, you know, we have this big overarching message. But then when you start to talk about these different verticals or these different use cases, these different scenarios, that content is going to need to change and people are going to want to modify it to make sure they're talking to their audience in the right way. And that's where you want that customization, but you still want the way that you're teeing that information up and maybe the way that you're ending that conversation to be consistent across the board. So that's where those wrappers can be really helpful, where you have flexible visuals, flexible messaging that is consistent across the board, no matter what audience you're speaking to start and end that conversation so that in the middle, you can change the conversation and make sure that you are customizing things still and that you're giving, you know, flexibility to your sales force to speak to people the way they need to.
Yeah. What I love about the wrapper idea, composability, is really that like it not only like brings flexibility, but it brings greater agility through the modularity of it, but also resilience to your field through autonomy, really giving them that ownership with a set of design principles. But yet it doesn't prevent them from losing their creativity where they're going and trying to sell something into a prospect.
Right. And if you're, you know, for product marketers at a company that's got a single product, maybe this doesn't sound as relevant, but when we're talking, you know, about those big product suites with all these different features and different tools under one cloud or system, right? We've seen these projects come through where it's like 10 sales plays all at once, right? It was each with a different sort of motion and focus. How do you make sure that those all laddering up to like one big cohesive theme? And that's where we've really seen these wrapper slides help build that brand equity across the board while allowing you to go a little bit more targeted per sales play. So yeah, what a great arrow to have in the quiver. Okay, we've got cohesion, we've got composability, but just because you've given your seller a canvas, don't make them Picasso, right? Just because you give them a template doesn't mean they're Steve Jobs up on the, you know, on their next presentation. What is the third C to sort of complete this cycle of the presentation enablement 2023?
Yeah, our third C is continued learning. So again, more and more we're talking with our product marketers, we're giving them, you know, these amazing first, second, third call decks, these enablement assets, but how are they actually being used in the field is so important. And so more and more we're getting asked of how can we train the field to enable them to use these the right way? You know, what are areas that they can go in and customize to speak to these customers that they know want to be heard? And so how can they craft that specifically for that audience, but also keeping that consistent messaging for the overall corporation?
Yeah, seems like there's a lot of ways you could go with continued learning. It seems like what sort of the profile or the persona that we see come out or reach out to Ghost Ranch for this type of support would be that champion of, you know, that person who takes presentations seriously, but when they get to the new org, they start to look around, they say, we need to like raise the bar a little bit. What are some types of different like training opportunities that you might recommend? Because I know it can really range from the storytelling side of things to the delivery to actually like how to use Google Slides or PowerPoint more effectively.
Yeah, something we've definitely had some success with is, this is going like on the like low hanging fruit side of things, but presentation design for the non-designer is even, you know, one of the things that we love about working with product marketers is they're pretty brilliant group of people, visionaries. They've got the most incredible ideas. They just can't articulate them visually. And so giving them a better set of resources to be able to, you know, maybe it's not this perfectly polished slide, but maybe it's giving them the right like amount of skill set within Slideware of their choice for them to be able to get an idea in place. And then a designer can take it across the line. That can be a really good one.
Mm-hmm. I know there's also a ton of like LinkedIn learning courses out there, and as well as just, I mean, YouTube, an abundance of tutorials and whatnot. And then I've seen on the delivery side, like, I think it's pretty common to see like improv classes and, you know, sort of like media training speaker coaches come into some orgs who've got like some L&D kind of budget, not to mention Toastmasters. That's still a thing. And then one thing we tried out on our last retreat was a PowerPoint night, which was pretty fun. And I think like 10 people put together like a 2-minute presentation, and it was a blast. So if you're ever together on a retreat and you want to help raise the bar for your team together, PowerPoint nights are kind of a fun thing to do as well. On the storytelling side, Allie, one project that came to mind was from an event director at a tech company, like kind of mid-market enterprise. He was having some troubles like with his very technically minded subject matter experts for their user conference. They have great things to say. They're very deep into the knowledge, but he kept coming up a bit frustrated with what they were delivering in terms of like storytelling. Can you talk about like what you did for them and how that maybe could be, you know, inspiring to some others who are trying to level up the story support across, you know, a group of SMEs?
Yeah, it was kind of a cool combination of assets that we delivered to this team, but it was really like, think of it as a set of Mad Libs for storytelling. So it was, what we gave them was this really nice structured outline for what needs to go into a presentation. And this was something that, you know, we collaborated with our partner at this company on, like what actually needed to be involved from a storytelling perspective. But what it did was it took away that blue sky feeling of starting from scratch. Like, how am I going to speak to this? And it was an input of information that ended up flowing into what a slide structure would look like. So all they really had to do is answer a series of questions about what they were going to be talking about. And then we had a slide structure in place for them, at least to use as a starting point to give them a leg up when they were putting their materials together. And then what was kind of cool is we had a template that worked right alongside those sets of questions and those slide suggestions. Well, that was even like, hey, like maybe this is the type of slide you could use to like help convey this information. I think what that ended up doing ultimately was just streamlining the process for everyone and clearing up their headspace to think about, hey, like, how do I actually want to speak to this presentation rather than, you know, spinning their wheels on how to put it together to begin with. So I think there is a lot of success with that.
Yeah. And it sounded like it even saved them quite a bit of budget burn too, by not having to have each SME working specifically with like a presentation specialist. Love it. Okay, so that's the three C's, right? We've got cohesion, composability, and continued learning. Looking out ahead, what is something that you think isn't quite trending yet that you think like should be?
Something I know we've seen it here and there, and we're always excited when we see it. So we're hoping that this is something that's on the rise. But thinking about slide testing, So if we wanted to force it into a C, we could call it conversion. But A-B testing, so taking two different strategies or two different approaches to messaging and trying them out and actually seeing which one is working better, which one is, again, which one's converting. I think too many times we've got messengers that are building out their strategy in an echo chamber. I think we've heard a few people call it that PMs are in an ivory tower. Yeah, but actually reaching out to, you know, the people who are using this messaging and seeing how it's going and maybe offering up a couple of different solutions that they can try out. Because then in turn, I think that also gives people who are selling and using this messaging, it gives them a little bit more ownership of it as well, because they can really weigh in and help make some decisions around what actually moves forward.
Would love to see that. I mean, there's a reason that we're, you know, email tests, it's so ubiquitous. It's just A-B testing is a thing. It is surprising we don't see it more with the presentation world. Well, Kelsey and Allie, this is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and perspectives as you've been working with product marketers for several years now. But I think there's probably one question they're all dying to know, and that is, when you take the stage for your next presentation, what is your walkout song?
My song has been with me since my childhood. I grew up playing sports, and it's Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
Dun, dun, yes.
A strong choice.
All right.
I'm going to staying true to my one and only walkout song I've ever had, and it's ELO, Evil Woman. And I don't think I even really need to explain more further than that.
You're no evil woman, but that's always been your walkout song. That's amazing. Good. This is such an important question. Everyone out there listening, you got to be thinking, you know, about that next walkout song, because I know you're going to be asked to get up on stage soon. Well, Kelsey and Allie, anything you need to plug? Where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm at Kelsey on ghostranch.com. Pretty easy. But we'd love to talk with you and see how we can help you this year with any sort of presentation, whether that's, you know, bringing these three C's together for you. We'd love to help. So yeah, please reach out.
Yeah. I think I expressed my love for hopping on a call and talking about strategy. So hit me up anytime. easy, just like Kelsey, that's Allie at ghostranch.com.
All right. Thanks for listening in. Keep on pitching, everybody, and good luck in 2023.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. Remember, we have an extensive back catalogue of episodes waiting to be explored, as well as dedicated series focusing on core product marketing areas such as storytelling, go-to-market, leadership, sales enablement, competitive intelligence, and much more. For the full selection, head to www.productmarketingalliance.com/podcasts.